Alaska Native or American Indian and interested in free additional health insurance? Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium and SEARCH are partnering to cover insurance for tribal people in our region. Indian healthcare provides many services, but it may not cover all your healthcare needs. Free additional coverage can save you money, give you options, and peace of mind. To find out if you qualify for the tribally sponsored health insurance program, call SEARCH Outreach at 966-8883.
And good morning. It is 16 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio, Linda Bankin and Dan Falvey. They're both from the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association to talk about a whole bunch of workshops that are coming up. And the first one is happening this evening. Welcome to Morning Edition, Linda and Dan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, coming up this evening at 6 p.m., there's a Noble Tech workshop, and then there's another one happening tomorrow. There's a lot going on around Noble Tech, so let's talk about that. But first, let's talk about what Noble Tech is.
Okay. Well, you know, when you look out on the ocean, it may look kind of flat on the surface, but underneath the surface is the same mountains and ridges and valleys that you see on land here. And so to the extent the fishermen can understand what the underwater topography looks like, they can more efficiently put their gear where they want to, catch more of the fish they're targeting, and reduce their bycatch. So for the last 9 or 10 years, Alpha has been working with some of the salt navigation software companies to help fishermen with the bathymetric mapping applications they have. And Noble Tech is one who's worked with us very closely. And they've supported us in a couple of ways where they actually take our input and modify their software to meet the needs of Sitka's commercial fishermen. And then they come to town periodically and hold kind of training classes where they can work with advanced and beginner users to help understand how to use the software, and then work one-on-one with fishermen on their boats to make sure it's all set up and working correctly. And then tonight is the first of another one of those Noble Tech workshops we're going to be having, and it starts at Linda's?
Tonight the advanced class will be at 6 p.m. There's a bit of a problem with the planes getting out of Seattle, so I've had to move our beginner class, which was supposed to be at noon today, back to tomorrow morning at 9. And the Noble Tech workshops will all be at the Sitka Sound Science Center. Tonight's will be in the downstairs classroom, and tomorrow morning will be in the upstairs classroom.
So tonight at 6, it's the advanced Noble Tech workshop. Tomorrow at 9, it's the beginner's Noble Tech workshop. Mm-hmm. That's really amazing how responsive they are to the needs of Sitka fishermen. Is that typical? Is that how they work?
Well, I think they're very excited about what our fishermen are doing. So what a part of what Alpha has done working with fishermen is collect bathymetric data from all the people who are participating in our fishery conservation network and compile that data and then give it back to the fishermen. So rather than having just the seafloor bathymetry data that you've picked up with your computer and your transducer on your boat, you have the data from everybody who's participating in this network. And when we first started doing that 6 years ago, it completely crashed the Noble Tech system. It just wasn't set up to take in that much data. But Noble Tech was excited by the way we were using the data. They say that what we have now is the largest private data set that they've seen using their software. So we're pushing the limits. I think they like the fact that it's getting used to this extent, and we're helping them improve the software by the feedback that our fishermen are giving them. And in return, they're working with us to make it work better for our fleet.
So who would want to attend the advanced workshop tonight?
All the fishermen who have been using Noble Tech and have some idea of what more they want it to be able to do for them, where they're finding bugs in it, where they still have questions about how to use it better. Noble Tech's really looking for that kind of feedback from us at this point. And also, they're there. We have the premium software developer who's coming to town for this workshop, and he's there to explain any of the real fine points of what Noble Tech can do to people.
And what about the beginner's workshop, Dan, tomorrow?
I think anybody who's either thinking about buying Noble Tech software or maybe just bought it this season for the first time and have just started to use it will get a lot of information about how to take the next steps on becoming a more advanced Noble Tech user.
And then fishermen will have an opportunity to work one-on-one with Noble Tech folks, is that right?
Yeah, that's set up for tomorrow after the beginner's class. If people either have questions about how to get set up or they've set up a system on their boat and it's not working how they want it to, the people coming from Noble Tech will go boat to boat and troubleshoot and help people answer those kind of questions.
So there's all sorts of really innovative problem solving going on here in terms of the bathymetric program you have going on at Alpha. So this really collaborative approach, getting fishermen to work together to share data and grow the knowledge pool, and then working collaboratively with a tech company and getting them excited about visioning what their, you know, tech could bring to the world. And I think that seems to be sort of a hallmark of what Alpha does. It's really creative problem solving around fishery issues.
We have a lot of really creative fishermen are a part of our organization that help us with this kind of problem solving. We can't leave Noble Tech without mentioning Stephen Rhodes, who's really been the person who, when we've hit obstacles and how to make this information work for us and this software work for us, has problem solved and pushed things ahead and actually worked with Noble Tech to bridge the gaps. So. Yep. He's got those skills. Yep,
that comment on innovative problem solving is a great segue into the next big event that's going this week, which is starting on Wednesday. We're going to be bringing a marine engineer back into town to help with fishermen understand how to save fuel on their boats. And saving fuel on a boat is an important thing for Sitka fishermen, because the fuel bill usually comes off the top before crew shares are paid. And so if you can save a little money on the fuel bill, then everybody, skippers and crew, go home with extra money in their pocket, and that's a good thing. So for the past 6 years or so, Alpha's been, when the cost of fuel got high, Alpha started working with partnerships to try and find ways for fishermen to improve the efficiency of their boats. And early on, we teamed up with the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation to bring a marine engineer to Alaska to actually conduct full energy audits on boats to find out which of the myriad of systems on a boat are really using the most fuel. And so now we've done about 20 energy audits on boats of all shapes and sizes, from gillnetters to trollers to freezer boats to longliners, seiners, even tenders. And thanks to other partnerships, like with the Southeast Sustainable Partnership and the Renewable Energy Alaska Project and Southeast Conference, we're able to bring the marine engineer back to Sitka this week so fishermen could talk one-on-one with him, and also attend on Saturday, the 29th at noon, a workshop that's going to present all the data we've collected over these past years on how fishing boats use fuel and how you can save money. So that workshop's going to be at the Westmark Sciatica at noon on Saturday. The engineer will be here all week, and it's a great time for fishermen who are thinking about doing maintenance projects this winter to find a moment to talk to him one-on-one about what their ideas are, and he can give you a very experienced opinion on the best fit for your boat.
All right, so that's fuel efficiency workshops and more one-on-one. And then there's also something happening around sablefish, and that I think is on the 28th as well, right?
The 28th and the 29th, we have a workshop that sprung up around the regulation change that will allow pots to be long-lined again for sablefish starting this spring. And that was a change in gear type that really worried our members because of the concerns about gear conflicts and the potential for gear to be lost on the grounds, have damage to the resource, and also longliners to be losing gear that tangles with pots. And our intent with this workshop is to really inform people who might want to switch to pot gear what it takes to switch to pots in terms of the gear, the hydraulics, the deck space, how to do it well if you're going to switch, and then also to try to improve communication, set up systems so that we minimize the conflicts on the grounds and minimize the gear loss, and also minimize the safety risks, because loading a bunch of pots on a small boat with that kind of weight on deck can really bring some safety concerns to people. So we want people to be aware of what they're getting into if they're going that way. We want them to do it safely, and we want people to be working together as best as possible. So those workshops will happen. We have people coming from out of town who are experts in running pots, both fishermen and folks who do hydraulics, who build pots, who know about what kind of line you have to use, and people locally who have that kind of expertise that'll be sharing that in a series of classes on the 28th, starting at 10, and the 29th, also starting at 10, and sort of stretching through the day with various classes scheduled.
So this is a very busy week for you folks.
Right, and the pot workshops will also be held at the Westmark Sciatica, like Linda said, starting Friday at 10. And there'll be food and a lot of good information exchange, so we encourage everybody in Sitka to come out all this week, but, you know, Noble Tech is today and tomorrow, and then fuel efficiency is all week with the culminating workshops on Friday and Saturday at the Westmark.
And this is all free. Correct?
It's all free, and actually we have a number of sponsors who have supported this: Precision Boat Works, Current Navigation, Mustad, Alpha, Alaska Fishery Development Foundation, and the food will be provided at almost, well, any of the lunch and dinner time slots, and those, again, have been, we have sponsors for some of those costs as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I guess the last event in our fall Sitka Fish Expo is going to be on November 7th. The International Pacific Halibut Commission is going to bring the new director and their two top scientists to town to talk to fishermen about the status of the halibut stock and what some of the changes in the near future will be. And that's always a real great chance for fishermen to, you know, give their vision and what their experiences are on the grounds to the folks that set their quotas every year. So it's a great chance for good communication and exchange of information.
And Linda, you were recently appointed to the commission, correct?
I am. I'm serving right now as an interim commissioner, U.S. commissioner.
And what does that mean for you?
Well, I've been involved with the council management process for quite some time as a member of the industry sitting on the industry advisory panel. I've chaired that panel for the last couple years. So I feel like I'm fairly well acquainted with the fish, the fishermen, and the policy process. Now I'll be a commissioner where you got to make the final decision, I guess. I'm setting quotas and setting a path for the future. And I hope also helping move the commission towards being more aggressive on solving bycatch issues.
Well, we are out of time, but we can't leave without a shout out to Linda also for your recent recognition by the White House as a Sustainable Seafood Champion of Change. And you went down there and really nutshell, what was the experience like for you?
That was very exciting. We were in the White House for a couple days of events, some panel discussions, some opportunity to talk with some of the high-level people in the administration and in NOAA. So it was very exciting. But really, I got to share the credit with the very smart people like Dan, who I work with, who's made it all possible.
Great. Well, very quickly, phone number and website for people to find out more.
Our website is www.alphafish.org, and phone number is 747-3400.
And we'll also be updating the community calendar as events unfold, so check in on that.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Linda Bankin and Dan Falvey up from the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association.
Raven Radio receives support from C-Mart Quality Foods, offering a wide selection of gourmet cheeses and specialty meats, including roasted chickens and ready-to-serve meats. C-Mart Quality Foods, located on Halibut Point Road, and open all day, every day.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday, the 24th of October, 2016. It's the birthday of the poet Denise Levertov, Ilford, England, 1923. She wanted to become a poet, didn't want to go to graduate school, so she got her nurse's training, spent 3 years as a nurse during the Blitz in London. She liked the work, but didn't like the structure, the organization. She said, "I was always crawling in and out of windows to avoid curfews." She met and married an American poet, Mitchell Goodman. They moved to this country. She got in touch with William Carlos Williams, whose work she admired. They exchanged letters for a while. Then she took a bus up to meet him in Rutherford, New Jersey. He was a warm man, and after that, she went to visit him a couple of times a year. Denise Levertov published more than 20 books of poems. Denise Levertov, who said, "Strength of feeling, reverence for mystery, and clarity of intellect must be kept in balance with one another. Neither the passive nor the active must dominate. They must work in conjunction as in a marriage." She said, "I'm not very good at praying, but what I experience when I'm writing a poem is close to prayer." It's the birthday of the playwright Moss Hart, born in Manhattan in 1904 into utter poverty. But his aunt Kate, who was as poor as the rest of them, liked to live beyond her means. And among her indulgences was the theater. She liked to take trips to see Broadway plays, and she took her nephew along, and he was dazzled by it. Took any theater odd job he could find. He wrote a comedy which was all right, a producer told him, but not great, and the producer suggested that he collaborate with the playwright George S. Kaufman. And when the play was produced, it was a big success in 1930, the play Once in a Lifetime. They went on to collaborate on You Can't Take It With You and The Man Who Came to Dinner. Moss Hart also wrote screenplays, including Gentleman's Agreement. And he directed plays. The most famous was the musical My Fair Lady in 1956, a rags-to-riches story that he told in his memoir Act One. He died in 1961, Moss Hart, and his wife, Kitty Carlisle, refused to let his diary be published. She died in 2007, and the diary turned out to be full of nasty comments about people he knew, Dorothy Parker and Marlene Dietrich and Gene Kelly and Audrey Hepburn, whom he described as absolutely ruthless. Here's a poem for today by Philip Terman, Some Days. Some days you have to turn off the news and listen to the bird or truck or the neighbor screaming out her life. You have to close all the books and open all the windows so that whatever swirls inside can leave and whatever flutters against the glass can enter. Some days you have to unplug the phone and step out to the porch and rock all afternoon and allow the sun to tell you what to do. The whole day has to lie ahead of you like railroad tracks that drift off into gravel. Some days you have to walk down the wooden staircase through the evening fog to the river where the peach roses are closing. Sit on the grassy bank and wait for the two geese. Some Days, a poem by Philip Terman from Our Portion, published by Autumn House Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Lumosity, with a 10-minute fit test to calculate baseline scores and training programs with 50 challenging brain games. Learn more at lumosity.com. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support for this program comes from Harry Race Photo, offering a wide variety of services, including passport photos, VHS to DVD transferring, photo restoration, and video editing. Located at 106 Lincoln Street or online at whitesalaska.com. Harry Race, living local.
This is Bird Note. If we had to pick one bird's voice to symbolize our eastern woodlands, the blue jay's voice would likely be it. Its familiar calls ring year-round through deciduous forests east of the Rockies. And as a frequent visitor to backyards and bird feeders, the blue jay is among the most widely recognized birds of the region, as well as one of the most colorful. Its upper parts glint bright blue from the tip of the tail to the peak of its stylish crest. But when nesting, the same jays can be as stealthy and quiet as the most expert ninjas, sneaking to and from their nests with uncanny secrecy. And as familiar as the typical call might be, these birds are immensely creative vocalists with a large vocabulary of other calls, including piping notes. Rattles. And astute mimicry of birds of prey, such as the red-shouldered hawk. To see a photo of this bird and all we feature on the show, come to our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.
And good morning, just about 36 minutes after 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where temperatures have been steadily falling this morning. It's now 45 degrees in downtown Sitka. Here at the Cable House, skies are cloudy. There's a little light rain off and on this morning as well. Winds are calm out at the Rocky Gutierrez Airport. Expect some rain showers this morning in Sitka, Port Alexander, Pelican, Elfin Cove, Angoon, and Cake. Should be clear today in all of our other communities. Then it's a mix of some clouds and some clear skies tonight and tomorrow throughout our listening region. No major weather is forecast for this week. Highs today will range from the mid-40s to the mid-50s, and lows tonight from the mid-20s to the mid-30s. We have a gale warning this evening through late tonight for Cape Fairweather to Icy Cape, and we have small craft advisories for Cape Decision to Cape Edgecombe, Cape Edgecombe to Cape Fairweather, and the Inside Waters. Let's take a quick look at the local news stories we heard this morning. Wildlife troopers shot and killed a brown bear sow and her two cubs in a Sitka neighborhood late last week. While it's not the first report of an aggressive bear near downtown, the three were the first animals destroyed this year for public safety. Also last Thursday, Fish and Game received a report from a group of hikers of an aggressive bear on Sitka's Mount Verstovia Trail. Wildlife troopers were notified and planned to put up signage at the trailhead. Also in Sitka, the proponents of a new playground at Crescent Harbor took their plans to the Chamber of Commerce recently in hopes of winning support for the project. They'd like to get to work on the over $500,000 upgrade. In 2017, the new playground will be place-based and it will be fully ADA accessible. For links to additional information about the Sitka Community Playground Volunteer Group, you can visit our website, kcaw.org. We also heard from Haines, where there is a new Alpine weather station installed on Mount Rapinski that transmits data back to the web for anyone to use to figure out what the conditions are like before heading up into the mountains. And that report was from KHNS's Abby Collins. You can listen to or read most Raven news stories again on our website, kcaw.org. And that is where we are going to go to take a look at the community calendar, which you can access anytime online. Well, there's going to be a Noble Tech workshop this evening at 6 p.m. at the Sitka Sound Science Center. It's free to fishermen, and it's being sponsored by the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association. There's going to be a collaborations between diverse cultures health presentation happening this afternoon, 3 p.m. at UAS. That's going to be streamed live. Sitka Trailworks is holding a potluck meeting at 5:30, and there's an open jam session at 7. Our next tide coming up will be at 9:21. That's going to be an 8.7-foot high tide. The sun rose at 7:56, and it will set at 5:34 this evening. It's just about 8:39, so we're heading on over to NPR. Good morning. Thanks for joining me.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Today in your health, for people with severe disabilities, it's not uncommon to travel hours, sometimes to another state, just to find a dentist. That's because they are often more complicated to treat and more expensive. Medicaid does not cover all of the costs, which means there are not that many dentists prepared to care for patients with severe disabilities. Still, there are a few. NPR's Allison Kojak visited a network of dental clinics in Wisconsin that specialize in treating people with special needs.
At the Marshfield Clinic Dental Center in Chippewa Falls, hygienist Karen Aslinger is getting her room ready. Her next patient is pretty tiny and frail.
And so I like to go to oral surgery and get a heated blanket. I wrap her up and I think it soothes her.
That patient is Kathy Falk. She's 16 and suffers from Rett syndrome. It's a genetic disorder with a constellation of symptoms that look like cerebral palsy,